Welcome back to another episode of the Nutrition Spot podcast. Today, we're going to talk about several small meals per day versus the traditional three meals per day and what's better for your blood sugar control, all thanks to a question one of you sent in. I'm going to read it right now. So again, we can chat with you live in Facebook or YouTube, or you can send your question in and we'll get back to you. So the question comes from Jay. I can't always sit on the lives, but I'll catch them later. I love all the videos YouTube put out. So encouraging and helpful. Thank you so much. I'd love to hear your thoughts on eating something every 2 to 2.5 hours throughout the day for menopause or postmenopausal women to keep the blood sugar at a more even / steady level, and that helping the body to release excess weight. So thank you so much for that question.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, go ahead.
You go ahead.
We're going to keep it a little more general, not specific to menopause, postmenopausal. We have tons of clients that do navigate that through their intuitive eating journey. And we see how they come out on the other side. And so we're like, you know what? This can totally be applicable to that general blood sugar control topic that applies to so many of us. And also that question that we get often as well, like, what's the right way to eat? Is it traditional three meals a day? You know, like, what if my body is like kind of fasting in the morning? You know, what do you feel about like frequent meals per day? And so let's tackle it all in one.
Yeah. The interesting thing about, I get this question. People ask it to me a lot on Instagram and social media, but I always like to say, let's figure out why you feel like we need to have six meals a day, or like, you know, what's going on? Because so often, there's a symptom happening that we think controlling and having these rules is going to fix, when really we need to go seven layers deep. Like blood sugars are a hot topic on social media right now. And everyone's talking about blood sugar control. But your blood sugars are supposed to go up and go down. That's normal. Unless you're someone who has blood sugar processing issues, like you have diabetes or you have insulin resistance and you're diagnosed with that, it's not something that you actually need to focus on in the big picture. We actually want our blood sugars to go up when we eat, because then that's giving our body energy that it needs to thrive. And then as they naturally come down, that's what signals our body to release hunger hormones that we need our next meal. So it's actually really critical in terms of hunger and fullness cues, having those normal blood sugar changes. The issue comes around where with social media really like over heightens that and spends too much energy focusing on it. And yeah, there can be an issue if our blood sugars go up too quickly. So instead of like a rolling hill, it's like a mountain, because then that can cause us to have our body to like throw out insulin. Be like, ah! And then we have a really quick drop into like a valley. And if we're living in this mountainous blood sugar range, yeah, it's not going to feel good. But again, that's a symptom. That's a symptom of some intuitive eating skills that aren't quite there. One being, is your blood sugar spiking because you're overeating at the meal? You're eating more than your body needs. Is your blood sugar spiking because you're not having enough balance at that meal? And again, an occasional blood sugar spike like that is not a big deal. That's still part of normal eating. So if you go out and you have a pasta meal, that's all fine. That's okay. We don't need to be freaking out about things like that. We're more meaning like the everyday things, the overall. Shane and I are always about the big picture. What's happening in your big picture? Are you always doing that? Okay, that's a problem. But if you have normal blood sugars and the occasional one that's a little spiky, totally normal.
Mm-hmm. And when Nikki said, we don't really need to worry about that, I can hear people being just absolutely freaking out. The people that are not in our intuitive eating world, what do you mean? You know, like you're sending people to their graves. What happens with intuitive eating is regular balanced eating, so that our blood sugars are not getting those massive spikes that she was just mentioning. And so we get to a place where we just don't need the rules. We don't even need to think about small, regular meals so that my blood sugars are controlled. It just happens intuitively. It happens second nature. And so our last podcast, I think we're talking about those ladies who are just not eating all day. You know, they're having their coffee, whether it's to compensate for something that they ate the day before, or they're too busy, or they just think that like hunger is the best thing. And, you know, we were talking about that. Being hungry is a pro, you know, all of that. That we want to avoid, right? That's going to send us into the blood sugar spikes. And that's where we got this question from. So we totally hear where you're coming from. You're like, okay, so we don't want to be spiking our blood sugar, but thank you so much. We're just pulling it back. Like, just remember, your body can guide you. Of course, you know, like having these like supportive, nurturing philosophies around ourselves, like what can I do to support my body? It may not be something as like that specific as like, I need to eat every 2 to 2.5 hours so that my blood sugars are controlled. That's what we're saying.
Well, exactly. Because then again, that's disconnecting you from your body's innate ability to regulate your appetite based on the meal you had before, the meals you ate yesterday. Because that's the thing about intuitive eating is we always tell our clients, it's okay if you overate at a meal, your body's got you. But your body can't get you if you have regimented eating rules. If you're like, no, I have to eat every 2.5 hours, then if you did overeat, you're overriding any natural cue and then you're eating more. So it can end you, it ends up often for people in a state of overeating and they might not even really notice because you're not getting natural blood sugar fluctuations. You're not getting natural hunger fullness cues. You're kind of just eating to eat and you don't really know when to stop and you could be in a state of overeating.
Mm-hmm. So let's take like the three different, I'm just going to say three different eating patterns, whether it's like fasting where you have a massive gap between eating or small frequent meals, you know, every 2 to whatever X amount of hours, or like the three traditional where it's like every 4 to 5 hours, every single one of those could be applied as a rule. I'm pretty sure I've applied every single one of them as a rule in my previous dieting way. And it like Nikki's saying, well, what if you're hungry before the 2 hour mark, the 4 hour mark, the 12 hour mark? Like what happens? Do you let yourself eat or are you going to honor your hunger? Or vice versa, you know, what if at the 2 hour mark when it's like small frequent meals, you're not actually truly hungry, but it's time? That's not honoring your hunger either. Right. And in fact, we've had lots of podcasts before where we talk about it's actually really hard to determine when you're full, truly full, or like help your body to navigate what you actually need in that moment when you're not honoring that like sweet spot hunger. Right. So we get what you're saying. We totally do. But our overarching message is intuitive eating is intuitive. Your body will tell you what, when, and how much. And it's going to fluctuate day by day, depending on your needs, right? Anything else?
And if it's not right now, that's just a sign that you're disconnected from that intuitive eater. And again, don't feel bad if that's you, because 90% of us are because of how we were raised. The messages we receive from peers and parents and teachers and healthcare professionals, messages you receive from the media, everything has worked its butt off to disconnect us from those intuitive eating skills. And so it's so normal for women to be like, I just don't know. I can't trust my hunger. I can't trust my fullness. And resort to these type of rules to help control their eating, essentially, to help control their cravings, to help control or try to stop overeating. And they might work for a little bit, but they never work long term. And they're all just disguised into the new kind of like trend. And so we are here to really say, well, let's stop and let's take a look at it. Because if there's something you're trying to control, be honest with yourself. Do you have a lot of cravings? Are you overeating? Are you binging? Is your weight going up? Like what is it that you're actually trying to control? And then let's go down and figure out what's actually causing that. And to touch base a little bit into the menopause world, I've had a lot of chats with coworkers about intuitive eating and like when I used to be a clinical dietitian and menopause, is it a chicken and an egg thing? You know, like many women do experience some weight gain as they go into menopause, hormonal changes, but is it, and I don't have an answer for this. I'm just like putting out a philosophical type of thought. Is it the fact that when you go into menopause and your hormones do change, your emotions become a little more intense, your stress increases, your energy levels change, all these things that might signal to our body if we're an intuitive eater, let's downregulate our appetite because we're not burning as efficiently as we should. We're not moving as much as we should. Our cortisol is high. But if we're disconnected from our intuitive eating skills and we're still using food emotionally or we're overeating or we have lots of cravings and we're not listening to those, our body's natural downplay of our metabolism, is that why we're experiencing the weight gain? And I don't think we'll ever have an answer for it, you know, because there is a lot of women that go through menopause that don't see changes in their weight. And is it because they're more intuitive with their eating and they're just, their body is naturally downregulating? You know, again, it really doesn't have to do with how often you're eating meals. It's about, are you eating for true hunger? Are you stopping when you're comfortably full? Is all the false hunger and overeating drivers mostly being managed? You know, is that rarely happening? That's more of what's going to determine our outcomes.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Hey, quick question for you. Are you someone who wants to be fit, healthy, and happy? And what if I told you you could get your dream body by simply just listening to a podcast? I'm Josh.
And I'm KG, and we're the hosts of the Fit, Healthy, and Happy podcast.
Listen, we get it. Fitness isn't easy. Carbs, no carbs.
Just stop, okay? It doesn't have to be that complicated. And that's why we made this podcast. We get straight to the facts so you can become your best you.
So the way to check us out is click the link in the show notes or search Fit, Healthy, and Happy podcast on any of the major podcast platforms. We'll see you soon.
So I think it comes down to like, what do you like? I think I would classify Nikki as more of like a snacker, which is kind of like a, you know, like you have your meals and then you have a snack in between kind of thing. Like I see you on your YouTube videos have like the cheese in between or whatever. And then And then for myself, it's like, again, it's just like if everyone's different and it could be different every day, you don't have to like prescribe to a way. Generally, I would be a 3-meal per day because I don't like to think about, I don't like just eating and then food still being on my mind because I'm not fully satiated. You know, like I love to have like a solid tummy so I can just have like this like, and like solid like meal, I guess I should say. Solid tummy is probably really triggering for some people, you know. I like that feeling of just like so satiated, so calm and so at peace. And, you know, if we're thinking about like weight retention, I honestly feel like that's one. There's so many things. I'm like, this was one of the things that really helped me return to my natural weight. But it's all part of that like natural sigh of relief, right? When we think about our body finally being at peace and at rest, like those are the things that are going to help us return to our natural weight. If you truly feel like you are not there yet, I would focus on those things. Like, what does my body actually desire? Not what my head's like overthinking things. If I were to just like let my body lead truly, does it want to eat a little bit more so that it's like full set, like satiation, you know, like that's me. I love that. So if I were to do the small frequent meals, like piecing up my meals, it would kind of be a little bit stressful for me where I'm like, oh, I can, you know, this is what I'd eat now. And then, you know, I'd be thinking about the rest of it until I get to eat the rest later. That would be stressful on my body. And it would just
absolutely
like, right.
And everyone's So if I was going to say yes, absolutely. And I was going to chat about why small frequent meals would do that for most people. But I do want to start by saying, like Shayna said, everyone is so different. There's no hard, fast rule. What we tell our clients is we do encourage breakfast. It's not a rule, again, but like we really do want to break that fast. We do want to get our body moving. And for a lot of women that have a dieting history, breakfast is a meal that's often skipped as because if you're not super hungry in the morning, it's easy to skip it or like drink some coffee. But it can equate to the problem eating in the evening when we might not even realize. And so we do encourage, you know, it doesn't have to be, again, we're not like you have to have XYZ for breakfast, but you know, trying to eat regularly means honoring hunger and fullness, which could be three meals a day with snacks in between. So you're having three meals and three snacks essentially. And it, you know, almost looks like six meals, or it could be just three meals like Shayna, or it could be, I'm more of like three meals and maybe an afternoon snack and occasionally an evening snack. I'm not really out of hunger, but out of want. And so you just got to let your body lead, and you really have to, the most important piece is feeling confident in your hunger and fullness cues, because they will guide you into what you need. And if you are in a moment where you overeat or really love a meal and just want to go past your comfortable fullness, if you're able to honor that, your body will downregulate your appetite. And that is so key into achieving your natural weight and staying at your natural weight. And that piece, I feel like, is so missed, right?
Oh, I was going to say, it's so missed. It's such a good point, because the only way that I finally, coming from such a restriction, micromanaged background, the only way that I finally arrived at the place where I felt like comfortable to just let my body eat however much it wanted, meal by meal, was when I realized when I ate a massive meal, my appetite just became self-regulated as an intuitive eater, because of all of the other subconscious overeating drivers were completely eliminated. Our body is totally capable to just tell you exactly what to eat, when, and how much. And then when I realized I truly don't need to micromanage a single thing, my body's got it. That's what I was like, oh, I have permission to eat what I want. And what I want to eat actually supports my health now that my subconscious drivers are gone. What is this? Heaven on earth. You know, like, hello. So yeah. That's a really good point. Thank you.
Well, and I do want to say too, so for the ladies that don't really know what a downregulated appetite looks like, it doesn't mean, okay, you really enjoyed supper, so you had a few more, you know, a little more than you usually would, and technically it'd be overeating. It doesn't mean your body's like not going to want to eat it all the next day. It's not, and it doesn't mean it's not going to not want breakfast. What, it's so nuanced, it's so little, that for most people you might not even notice. It might be like, instead of having two pieces of toast with peanut butter on it, you might still make them, but halfway through the second toast, you're like, I'm full.
Yes.
And then, you know, like, and little tiny things like that throughout the day that add up to, you know, to evening the balance beam or whatever you want to call it. So that's, I think we've never really been more specific about that, which maybe we should have when we talk about what your appetite regulating means. It is something that can be so little.
Yeah.
And it just adds up to being like, okay, I had a little surplus over the next couple of days. That surplus will be worked out.
I think we need to do another episode on that, because even one of our current clients was kind of like, we were talking about, maybe we'll talk about the whole like tracking a deficit for weight loss versus how intuitive eating just tracks it and we naturally get there, you know, kind of thing. And so this is that exact premise. And I think so many people just need to have it laid out in front of them for their mind to be like, okay, I can go for this. Obviously, there's no crystal ball or anything like that. And we're not ever pursuing intuitive eating for weight loss, because it'll never work that way. Either one, weight loss or intuitive eating.
Yeah.
But it's so helpful to know that the way that we were trying to do it was never going to win anyways. Right. So why not try to start working with our body?
Because even thinking about like the six small meal question, this where this podcast originated from, if you're eating just based on those rules and you're missing those nuances, then you may be up 300 calories a day. I'm just putting into like quotation marks, because I'm just throwing random numbers out there, which over span of time
exactly
adds up and is where like the slow weight gain happens.
Yeah.
all, you know, because you're just disconnected.
Oh my gosh. There's just so much to be said to finally be in that place where you are letting your body eat what it actually wants in the moment, because there's so much beauty that unravels from that moment. Like Nikki's saying, you're so satiated. You're so at peace. You're any kind of sense of like false desire is completely gone. Your appetite is self-regulated as an intuitive eater if your subconscious drivers are gone, right, guys? So that like it massively impacts the next week of eating, right? And like Nikki's saying, it's in these micro little things that add up to make that big difference that we've been searching for our whole life, it feels like, right? And you get to this point, you're like, so many of our clients are like, oh, it's so easy. You just eat. And I always remind them, you put a lot of work to get here for it to be that easy. Like, give yourself some credit. And there's so many women out there that are like, they're trying to do this and they're like, it's not easy. So either way, just give yourself credit, follow your intuition, and just always err on the side of nurturing and giving your body permission. I know it's scary. If you need help, reach out to us. The other day, our client was giving us some examples of downregulated appetite or like self-regulated appetite. And she was just throwing out wins like crazy. I was like, she was honestly, you weren't on this call, Nick, but she was like, I feel like I've arrived. I was like, you have arrived. It's so exciting. But she was saying she was out on vacation and she had fish and chips for lunch, which is something she would regularly eat a salad every single day, you guys, for her lunch. And then she would proceed most often at her workday. She would snack pretty much throughout the rest of the day. And we've been like telling her like, have more carbs with your lunch. And she just won't budge. Anyways, so she's out on vacation and she has fish and chips for lunch. And she's like, in hindsight, the most remarkable thing happened. I didn't even think about eating again until 6 p.m., which is so unlike me. And I was like, yeah.
Exactly who you're talking about. Yeah. The salads. It's like, oh,
yeah. 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 And then also another time on that vacation, again, she's like, you know what? There's so many pluses to food freedom or intuitive eating. She's like, one, you know, I'm out at a restaurant. I truly can just order whatever the heck I want. I go for the appetizer. I can't remember what her appetizer was. I enjoy it. And then the food arrives. And I'm just not hungry, you know, and like, she's like, which is crazy because before, you know, depending on your mentality, you would make yourself eat it because you don't know when you get to have it again. Yeah. And you don't know, even the crazier thing that she did, which from my perspective, like my previous self, she's like, I gave it to my son to eat, you know, like I packed it up and I didn't even want it for later. That's a sign from a restrictor point of view. That's a sign that she is truly free. Like I'm getting goosebumps. Like she's truly free.
She's not rooted, you know, in scarcity.
She didn't care about it. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I just want to like end around that. You end up eating, another client always says this, you end up eating what your diet probably would have told you to do. You know, get a small portion and then pack up the rest. You know, but she didn't have to think about it. She had total freedom to do whatever the heck she wanted. And that's what she genuinely wanted to do. And she was just in the moment and it unfolded organically. And she's like, okay, truly now, has this sense of arrival. Go ahead.
Now someone might say, so then why can't I just do it the diet way?
Fine.
But you can't, because there is a difference.
Yes, there is. I have something I want to say.
Because that like satisfaction, that scarcity, that lack, those three things are, if you're coming from a diet top down, I can only have this much.
Yeah.
They are going to drive you to keep thinking about food. Yeah. They're going to drive you to not want to stop because you're trying to control out of your body.
Yeah. Yes.
And again, it's so hard to really explain till you've experienced that, but that client has done all the diets and all of the rules and would have never had, because that scarcity and lack would have been there. Even if she did pack up that food, she would have taken it home and maybe eaten it when she had gotten home, because now no one was around to watch, right? That's a huge thing for a lot of women.
100%. Yeah.
Hid it in the back of the fridge so that nobody could get their hands
on it. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, or like just eating it when she wasn't hungry, just so no one in her family would eat it. Like those are the type of behaviors that add up. So in the moment, maybe calorie wise, she ate what the diet said. But what happens later is so different.
It's so good. So
the fish and chip thing again, like she ate maybe she probably, well, she did technically eat more calories than she's used to. And again, we're talking about calories just because it's so easy to like visualize what we're talking about.
And we don't care about appetite calories,
in that moment. But then she didn't think about food till later on. So she would have ordered a salad at the restaurant, not hit satisfaction, not hit comfortable full or the fullness she wanted to. Then probably every window she passed on vacation, because, you know, vacation can be like a green light for a lot of people who are dieters. Let's stop and get ice cream. Let's stop and try this. And then, 100%. So, okay, wow, you saved 500 calories because you ordered the healthier option at the restaurant, but now you've eaten 700 calories because you weren't satisfied and you didn't come from a place of abundance and you just keep thinking about food. Now you're still going to eat supper. Now, you know, like, so it's the after that is so different when you come intuitively. She ordered what she wanted. She stopped and she was full. She didn't think about food until the next time her blood sugars, rounding it back to the very beginning, her blood sugars started to drop. Even if that was more of a spiky blood sugar than her body's used to.
I would argue. I mean, it's got the fat, the protein, and the carbs. It was probably totally fine.
It would have been, right? Because it's such a high, like, not such, but it's a higher fat meal.
Protein, right? Yeah.
You know, anyway. And so until her blood sugars start to dip down and those natural hunger cues come in.
Yeah.
You know, so I hope that really helps people, you know, the listeners, you guys, see more of the big picture, what we mean. Because it can be, it's challenging to talk about, because when you're in the dieting world and you're so in your head about your eating, it's hard to even imagine.
Oh, yeah.
How that's different. We have an experience.
Yeah. And I want to add two things to the big picture. Something she also added to that fish and chips experience, where she's like, and then we had the most fun day ever, you know, where she was just, I could tell, like, the way she was talking about it, she was really in the moment, creating like really core memories with her family. And I was thinking back to, like, you know, if I had ordered the salad, which I probably would have, my previous self, right, my previous dieting self, then we would go off and do a bunch of activities and I would be a BITCH because I wasn't full. You know, and I'd be thinking about all the food that I might be able to eat later, and I wouldn't be in the moment and be short with people and my concentration, right? And it would totally take away from the moment. So that was,
or even on the other side, if you had let yourself order the fish and chips or the burger and fries, you might still be a bitch because you were upset with yourself, dwelling on the moment. You know, why did I order that? Why couldn't I just have more willpower? Like, why did I eat so much? Now I don't want to go for supper again. Now we, you know, like, just all the other side. So really, both sides.
Yeah, you always say, like, the guilt and shame, and I. Oh, that's so good.
Yeah, because you were so regimented.
I didn't have guilt and shame. I had, you know, like, anger because I wasn't eating enough. And she also mentioned she didn't even finish the fries, you guys. So again, like, that appetite. And again, it's not about not eating or not fish and shitting or anything. But, like, after years and years and years white knuckling your way into these decisions, or feeling guilty after we did make, you know, a decision, it's just so freaking freeing to be like, my body can do this. I can just go enjoy life. And the other thing regarding your question, where people were like, oh, you know, so why can't I just micromanage if that's going to be the outcome anyways? One thing we're talking right now with our newest clients is, like, the backslide. And so as much as the micromanagement may work short term, there's always a backslide. And I know every single one of us can totally relate, because we wouldn't be here if dieting worked, right? It's like, so you're good, quote unquote good, you're following the plan, whatever, and then finally the body's had enough and there's this big massive backslide, you fall off the wagon or whatever, you overeat anyways. Whereas with intuitive eating, that never happened. Like, never, when I'm saying never, even if you overeat, the self-regulated appetite does it itself. So there's no 8 steps backwards. That's not a thing in intuitive eating anymore. So you just smooth sail into your healthiest, happiest self for the end of time.
Yes. And one thing to note too is that person that we've been, like, sharing her kind of wins, she's also someone going through the stage of life where, you know, menopause may be happening, may have happened, or be in her near future. And so, you know, she's doing the intuitive eating. Her blood sugars are able to be regulated. You know, she's listening to her body. It's all coming around for her.
Yeah. I loved her little quote. I've arrived.
Yeah. Oh,
that makes the best feeling ever. Yeah.
Yeah.
I hope this is helpful. I loved it.
Yeah. Thank you so much for your question.
Thank you. Yeah. Send them in, you guys.
Yeah.
We hope to be Wednesday at 11 next week. Pacific. Things have had to change around. Okay. Mm-hmm. But yeah, send us in your comment.
You know, I'm just gonna put a plug out here that if listening to this, you're like, okay, I do really want this. Our applications are open for our fall empowering.
Women are registering for October.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we can leave the link in this or just reach on any of the socials and we can forward the application. Yeah.
Beauty. Okay, have a lovely week, everyone.
Yes. Bye.
Bye.